Poker Podcast. We don't really have an intro yet.
It's Poker Podcast?
I don't know. Because, like, Chop It Up, is it a poker podcast or is it just a gambling podcast?
I think it's more just gambling.
Just degen.
Yeah.
Too bad that's not available. Too late. We already picked Chop It Up.
I like it.
Chop It Up's good.
Right.
Because Chop It Up works for anything, right? Like, Chop It Up's like, all right, yep, you guys are, you know, four guys are throwing dice and then two guys win. Like, all right, chop it up.
Right. Or you're chopping up a pot in poker, or you're chopping up the prize pool of poker,
right.
Or you're chopping stuff in half.
Or you're in your Super Bowl pool, and you're like, all right, chop it up. All right, me and Brandon are going to chop that one up.
Right. I mean, I can't say how many times they chop up our 250 promo.
A lot.
Chop it up.
250 promo. That's a good promo.
It's
how long have we been doing that? Two years or a year and a half? That is one of your best ideas. You get many ideas that I don't give you credit for, and that's one of them.
Like the stacks that are 125 people deep.
Nah, I'm pretty sure that was my idea.
I don't think so.
Nah.
I think Pat Norris is Pat's idea.
Damn it.
Because he stole it from like,
and then also it was like the worst thing he said. He was like, dude, he's like, we're giving these guys too many chips now. Because the problem is with big stack tournaments is, and this is a segue into our topic for today.
So just screw the intro?
This is the intro.
Right.
So the problem is that people get so many chips now or want so many chips now in a tournament that they demand these massive chip stacks. And the structures have been kind of skewed to allow for these larger chip stacks. Certainly the play has changed. But, you know, the problem is in the old days, you know, you'd get 20K, 30K in a tournament. Now that's like a normal deep stack. But in the old days, that was a lot of chips.
Tons of chips.
And you'd play for 7 hours on an $80 tournament because your original stack tournament at CCG was a
$80 monster stack.
And you got 30K in chips?
No.
40K in chips?
Incorrect.
100K in chips?
18K.
Jesus.
18K, that's it.
$80 buy-in, 18K, 20-minute levels. It was a massively influential and very busy tournament, right?
Yep. And then it was so busy.
And Pat said it best. He was like, bro, we're giving them so many chips. The problem is they play $80. They play for 6-7 hours, and they go, hey, you know what? That was a good day. I didn't win anything.
Which you generate $15 or $17 rake from.
And that was
over
about
that 6-hour period.
2012, 13, somewhere in there.
Yep, that's about right.
It was right before kind of anything ever thought about
these huge chip
stacks. These huge chip stacks.
Monster stacks and stuff like that.
So,
because our biggest deep stack was 12K, and our main events were like 20K.
I remember when the original deep stack was 8,000 in chips.
The mini,
called the deep stack. Deep stack originally started with 8,000 in chips. The early bird, you started with 2K in chips.
Right. 2K and a 1K print off add-on.
Yes.
12-minute blinds.
It's insane. Now
they would kill us. They wouldn't even allow, nobody would play.
They would boycott.
Right. I mean, 3,000.
They go on strike.
I mean, people should just buy two seats at a time.
Do you think charity poker players or poker players in general don't unionize? Because if they turned into some kind of cool Teamster thing, that'd be great.
I mean, they did that. They were like boycotting PokerStars' increase in rake. And they had like a 5K tournament with like a million guaranteed. And they were going to like just so many players like boycotted it that they got smashed on the guarantee. But then there was people that just swooped in and got all the money. This happened. It's a true story.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a bad beat. If you like bad beats, listen to our first episode. Sorry. I'm getting used to this plugging.
So, yeah, it was one of the things where like, oh, you know, because they took away Supernova Elite. Do you remember when that happened?
Yes.
They took it away and like they like, you know, people had worked all year for it and it was like November and they're like, yeah, next year we're not doing it.
Oof.
Even though, so they boycotted this big tournament.
They didn't like grandfather in those guys. Like, no. They're going to get it, and then nobody for the next year will
That's
get it.
That's not the way they did
that
it.
That seems kind
and
of
And they like doubled the rake. So anyways, people boycotted and then, but it's like the whole, I took a college course in game theory where it's like, well, if everyone's going to boycott this and there's 500,000 in overlay, you should just like deviate and play it.
Right.
And then people start playing it.
It's the old switcheroo.
Yeah, the old switcheroo. Because people are going to go to the socially optimal. I'm air quoting.
Which air quoting doesn't work on an audio medium.
Well, that's why I'm telling them I'm air quoting.
Right. You're saying air quotes.
So anyways, back to the deep stacks.
Do you need to actually air quote if you say air quote? Doesn't that, it's like wearing suspenders in a belt.
Yeah, that's true.
So the topic for today is re-entries.
We're just going to re-entries? We didn't finish deep stacks.
Well, yeah, I mean, what else to say?
The poker problem is now we give them 60,000
chips. Poker players are spoiled.
Yeah.
And we're spoiled together. I literally, if I went to a horseshoe tournament or a WSOP or HPT or any of these PTs, and you like that?
I do.
And they're like, oh, you get 10K in chips. I'd be like,
that's literally nothing.
It's nothing. What do you mean 10K chips? I don't know how to survive on 10K in chips.
The main event of the it would be WSOPs like to be 10K
old school,
chips.
You got dropped off on a deserted island. It's like, all right, live on 3 oranges and a bottle of water. And now they give you like a crate of food and they're like, last for 3 days. And you're like, God, how's anybody supposed to survive on all of this stuff?
Right.
And it's like, man.
Way more than you need.
Yeah. In the old days, poker, you got like.
Main event was
10,000 in chips. Yeah. You got whatever the buy-in was how many chips you got.
Yep.
So if it's a $1,500 tournament, you got 1,500 in chips.
So when I went and played the WSOP, it was like 2011 because I just turned 21. They had bumped it up to 3 times. So I played a 1,500 and you got 4,500.
Which
main
is
event
pretty.
Is, the main event, 30K, is still not that much.
What's it now?
I don't know, 50 or 100.
That's a lot.
Heaps. I think it's 50K now.
I wanted to say it was 60, but that might not be right.
Maybe it is. I don't know. It's a lot of chips. Yeah. Way more than.
So progressively, tournaments have been starting with larger chip stacks. Now, in all fairness, we've also cut out some early levels. We no longer play green chips, and green chips don't exist anymore.
Right.
Which, when you're doing a tournament director's job, that's kind of a bonus. It's one less chip to color up.
I don't think green chips are like almost non-existent anymore in the poker world. Because they took away the ante, which is really the only need for green chips.
Right.
Quarter ante, 50, 75, 150. The big blind ante just takes care of all that.
Right.
So you don't need green chips. It's crazy.
I think the early bird will never not need
the,
green
the
chips.
The early bird will need green chips. But, I mean, I don't know. Who knows? In 2030, we might be giving them 10K.
Playing hologram chips.
They might get 10K in early bird.
No, maybe it'll go backwards. Maybe it'll go down.
It should
maybe,
go down.
Maybe poker
like
lifetime is like cyclical.
Like,
you know?
Like Billy's always like, give him too many chips.
Yeah, Billy's the best because Billy, I haven't seen him in forever. And talk about sick bad beat stories from that guy. He's the best. I mean, the absolute best. Quick Billy story. He shows up late. He's like, can I get into the tournament late? And I was like, nah, registration's over. You're passed. He's like, man, that sucks. My car broke down in the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru. And I was like, why didn't you just push it out of the way and then come here? Like, that's what I would have done. Like, your car's down. Might as well go to a poker tournament, try to win it back.
Sure.
No, his wheel fell off. And that's it was literally they could not move his car out of the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru. He said he was literally, like, at the window. At least he got his coffee and blocked everybody else. But
so did you let him in after that bad beat story or no?
I can't remember.
Okay.
I might have.
Probably. I would.
So, yeah, too many chips in play. Changes the dynamic of the structures because now every tournament basically starts 100-100. Bet the big blind ante is huge, though, in the sense that I think that increases play, although it's still a new thing.
See, I feel like our tournaments, though, and this is, I mean, I guess kind of a knock on them, but I mean, I feel like now with the monster stacks, there's just so much play early and like no play late. Isn't that like not the way you want it to be?
I think that's players in general though. I think like you can make it. People are always asked like why do the blinds go up? Because it forces the blinds go up to force you to play. The blinds don't go up for any other reason other than to force players action. Because if you didn't, people would sit there all day long
and
not
just wait
play.
Prices. Right. But if everybody has 8 big blinds at the final table, kind of sucks.
I mean, at some point, every tournament ends up like that.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I just feel like people like want more play early for some reason.
Yeah, I would rather have more play late.
Right. Obviously, I think like professionals want more play late. Like they just rearranged all the structures in like the horse events. So there's like, you know, the blinds are like 30 minutes on day one and 60 minutes on day two. And they kind of rush through some early levels because when you're playing for $100,000, they want you to have deeper levels. Which brings us to now to re-entries.
Right. Re-entries. Good for poker? Bad for poker? What is the...
Good for poker rooms? For poker?
Let's look at it two ways. As a poker player,
I'm
buying into a tournament, and I find out it's a re-entry tournament. So now, just so people understand, there are 3 different types of tournaments, right?
Right. Freeze-outs, rebuys, re-entries.
Freeze-outs, rebuys, re-entries. And the difference is a freeze out means you get one buy-in.
No matter
and
what.
And when you're out, you're out.
Come back next
year. It's Thunderdome, folks.
Straight up main event. WSOP
when you're out of the tournament, you out of the tournament. So the main event is the most prestigious and definitely the most known freeze out tournament. That's just the structure. Now, a rebuy tournament is there's a certain period of rebuys where you buy into the tournament, 100 plus 20, right? And then they're $100 rebuys. Typically, in a rebuy tournament, the rebuys are not raked.
Right.
So that is a bonus for the player.
Plus, you get to sit in your same seat.
You stay in your seat, and you just keep yelling, rebuy, rebuy, rebuy.
And reload your chips.
And then somebody comes running over and gives you more chips. Because, like, now the PLO tournament at the World Series of Poker Circuit at Hammond, I don't go anywhere else. That's the only one I know. They changed that $2,500 tournament. The only time they ever did that $2,500 PLO tournament was the first year. After that, it turned into a $350 with $100 rebuys.
Which I would love that structure so much better than the structure it is now. But
which one?
I would love four. I've never played like a $400 buy-in with $100 rebuys. Like, that seems awesome. Because you really can just people just go ripping off.
Literally the first hand, nine people go all in.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Because like you just have so much value in rebuy.
All right,
let's not
deviate from the track here. That's a rebuy tournament. Yes. And there are pros and cons to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then re-entry is a variation of a rebuy tournament.
Yes.
Right? Because some people get confused and they use rebuy and re-entry as the same thing.
Right,
but a re-entry basically means it's the combination of a freeze out and a rebuy.
Yes.
You play in a tournament, you're in table one, seat one, you bust, you get up from that seat, you go back to registration, you register as basically a new player. So if you've got to pay rake, you pay rake again. Mm-hmm. If you're buying an add-on to start, you're paying that add-on again. You go and you just re-enter into the tournament as a new player.
Right.
And that's it.
That's it.
And then there's a certain amount of time where late registration and re-entry end at a certain amount of time. What do you keep looking at over there?
There's like 10 squirrels playing like tag and they're
How is it possible that I'm not facing the window and now you just saw 10 squirrels playing
tag? They're jumping from tree to tree. It's crazy down
there. There's one tree out there.
Well.
Oh, back on the prairie.
Yeah.
Thing?
Yeah. They're deep in the. You see them or no?
No.
Okay. Well, they're hiding. They're just going crazy.
All right. Maybe we'll throw a squirrel in the new logo.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Chop it in half.
Chop it in half. Whoa. All right. This I don't want to get listed some kind of
PETA. We're out. Yeah.
So let's hear Brandon's thoughts. Brandon's thoughts of the week. What is your thoughts on a re-entry tournament? Do you want to give us like...
They're good for... Oh, okay, go ahead.
First, I was going to say, like, should we have like a format? Like you go, I give it a... Presidente
oh,
gives
like a
it,
score?
Like, yeah, I don't know if it's score is appropriate. Whatever, do whatever you want. I got nothing.
Yeah, I don't even...
Re-entry.
I was going to give him a rookie score and then he was going to be mad when he listens to
right.
it, so I don't want to
do
that.
Yeah, don't do that.
All right, so...
Don't pigeonhole ourselves into
a
shitty score here.
Right. Re-entry tournaments are...
As a player,
are
good or bad?
Good for the players that are properly rolled for the tournament. They're like good for pros.
So it's good with...
Well, it's bad for poker. It's good for, like, if I had to break it down, it's like,
all
it's
right,
good for the
down.
Pros and bad for the, it's good for the pros and it's good for the poker rooms, but it's bad for the game of poker and bad for recreational players.
All right. So give it to us. Why is it bad for recreational players?
Because they just flew to Vegas to play this $3,000 tournament that they saved up for because they only play 100s and maybe occasional 300.
Or they played free poker, won a $3,000 tournament voucher to play in a WSOP event. So the guy literally spent 6 months in a bar playing and drinking shitty food and drinks at a bar that he didn't really want to go to.
So now
he
gets
his
one shot and his one dream.
One arrow to shoot. And then you got, I hate to say Danny Negreanu because he's actually moderately opposed to reentry, but
then
you get a...
Just you a know, pro, a grinder, a circuit or a tournament.
Who's
guy.
Got the backers and the ability to play a 3K and have three or four bullets.
Yeah,
so I mean, he's ready to fire 15K into this tournament five times. He's willing to enter.
Right.
And for him, it may or may not be profitable. We'll get to that later. But the difference
so that's
is
that's a huge
that,
advantage for that guy and a huge disadvantage for our free poker friend.
And why is that bad for poker in general?
Because all the money's going to go to the pros.
And eventually the pools dry up. And then the pros can no. Then the pros are just playing against pros,
which then nobody has an advantage.
No, well, not only that, but like the poker economy kind of dries up.
Well, yeah,
right. Like,
because I don't play in games that are just a bunch of pros.
You need to be able to. there's got to be some whales. We talk about this a lot. Yeah. You know, when we do commentary, we talk about it. You need whales. You need fish. You need nits. You need pros. You need guys who think they're pros, but they're really fish.
Those are bad rags.
We need bad rags. I mean, you need all of these different dynamics at a poker game to make it, A, good game for everybody, mm-hmm. where everybody's excited to play, and B, it keeps the money going, right? Because right. otherwise, eventually, if you played the same 10 guys, the best player ultimately is going to win. I'm not claiming who is the best player, but whoever ends up being the best player at that table is going to win more money over the long run. It's like beating the rake. You can't beat the rake. If 10 guys played the same game, eventually, if you just play long enough,
this is what I was saying. There's no
all the money's going to get
all
raked
just going to lose.
Right. So
this is like poker in the 80s, where like Doyle Brunson would just win every tournament because he was better. If like there wasn't any new players, people wouldn't keep going back and playing.
So I think that's the other thing too, right? It's the idea of what makes the main event so great and so cool is that I can pay $10,000, which is a lot. Daniel Negreanu pays $10,000. Doyle freaking Brunson pays $10,000. Dewey Unger, if he was alive, would pay $10,000. Everybody's in for the same amount, and you only get one chance.
Yep.
Right? So even the average Joe, your Chris Moneymakers of the world, who actually did it, he can fumble his way. And not that I'm just saying, average Joe poker player who plays free poker could conceivably play free poker, get into the regionals, win that, go to the national, win that, which is such a pipe dream.
Right.
You know how I feel about free poker, yep. even though we attempted to do it. They get into the main event, and they can. It's a one and done.
Right.
Where you get a guy who's – I keep gravitating towards Daniel Negreanu. Phil Ivey, let's throw him under the bus a little bit.
Okay.
You get a guy like Phil Ivey who's a multimillionaire, and he's playing in a 10K. If they could rebuy into the – or re-enter into the main event,
they'd fire
–
20 bullets easily.
I mean, because it's the main event, and those guys want to win it because it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It would take away from the terms a little bit. So yeah. I think in general, re-entries are bad when you look at it this way. But then I think part of the reason, too, where it comes from is that it's the late entry. Poker players, do you remember the old days? Like, you had a much smaller window to mm-hmm. get there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a difficult thing. So that's a benefit of re-entries.
And these huge, massive prize pools come because of the re-entries.
Correct.
I mean, if you just look at a small-scale CCG, I mean, we had 100.
Look at the early bird.
Look at the stack. We had 125 people. How many, like, actual players? 80? 90?
No.
I mean, even if you say 90.
I think it was 90. Maybe 100. No, probably 90. Maybe right. I think there was 10 tables at one time, so...
It's probably around
there would have been more re-entries because it was so busy they were at max capacity that right. they couldn't.
Okay, so
accommodate.
Let's go to the early bird. So there's the early usually bird. like at Tavern on the Grange, there was about 45 tables, but not all the way full of unique players.
Right.
We ended with 75.
Yeah, 70, I think.
70.
Whatever. I mean, gambler's mentality.
I was trying to exaggerate.
Right.
I knew it was 70.
Everybody does.
Jeez.
Your $50 winner in blackjack turns into, I want like 80 bucks,
right.
$1,000, $1,000,000.
So, you know, that really swells the prize pool because, honestly, the prize pool would be way less if everybody just bought in once. The early bird, you know, would be $250, $300 to the winner. So because they can re-enter, and re-entry means less in those small buy-ins because everyone there can afford 4 buy-ins, pretty much, relatively speaking.
But again, there's still an idea here that the rich benefit from, and I'm using rich as kind of bankrolled
players.
Correct. Players benefits. Who have the ability and the willingness to fire multiple times into a tournament to try to go. Because, I mean, how many times have you played in a small tournament and it's like, I got to get third place to break even?
Yeah, but see, that I was hoping you'd say that because that's a terrible way of looking at it.
Okay. Why?
Because, like, this is like the way that all these pros that re-enter look at it. It's like, it's a brand new tournament for them. Like, they have the ability to.
Oh, I got
they
you.
Have the ability
We've
to,
talked about this before.
To play this 1650 5 times. Like, they just walked in the door for time, which is a re-entry. You know, they're a new
it's
player every
same
single
thing
time.
That we argued about, that if I want to bet on a coin flip, it's 50-50. It does not matter what has happened the last 5 times the coin has flipped. Even right. though the last 4 times you and I have flipped, it has been heads. And if you take a larger view of this statistics, right, like, it's very unlikely that it's going to be, whatever I said, heads again, right?
Right.
But it doesn't matter. The coin doesn't know that. It's 50-50. So right. you're saying it's a poker player, and you play in the early bird, and you brick and then you buy in again, and you brick, and you buy in again, and you brick, and you buy in again, and you brick, and you buy in again. You didn't lose. You're not into this tournament for $100. Mm-hmm. This is a $20 tournament. I'm in for $20, and if I win $400, I won $400. Right. Not, it really cost me $100, because then at that point, then you got to start going, well, I spent $8 in gas, and right. I bought food, and it's just like it goes down and down and down. And
you can't look at it like that. You got to look at it like, okay, like say the old guy that shows up and only buys in once to the other bird. It's like he showed up for a month every Friday and played Friday the 1st, Friday the 8th, Friday the, I can't do math, times 7. 15th. All, yeah, well, 15th and 22nd and 29th, and he played all five of those Fridays and lost every time and then won the early bird on the 6th time. It's the same thing as you firing all five bullets on Friday and then, you know, on your sixth bullet you win. You and the guy have the same, money won and lost. You actually probably have a little better because you didn't drive there five times.
Or eat all those times.
Or eat all those times and stuff like that. So
you have to count that as part of your expenses. You have to,
which makes rebuy so bad because now it's Dan in the grind you times five versus free poker Joe Schmo times one. You already can't be down on the ground. You're already at a disadvantage.
So the variance now goes up. It's harder to cash.
They can gamble more because, you know, and all of a sudden they're in 60-40s that they wouldn't be in because they can just reload and, you know. And
do you watch the Dan on the Grind vlogs? I do. I like them.
I sometimes do. I don't like religiously go through them all.
So but. I liked watching the European one because, like, he normally just vlogs for the summer. And then we don't hear from him again until next WSOP.
Right.
But this year, because he was trying to do the player of the year, which turned out to be a huge debacle. He vlogged in Europe. And he only went to Europe because that's where the player of the year ends. And that's the last chance to win points. So he was doing stuff to do it. And this is part of why the re-entry stuff got brought up. Because he's like, I am buying into a tournament leaving. Because if I just blind off and I get into the money, I get a couple of points. And it's not worth him to play the tournament, but it's worth him to buy in, let it blind off, and spike one or two points by min-cashing. Right.
Come in day two. Or yeah, like not even play day one, play this other one day one, but yeah.
Right. Remember Alan Kessler was like all over him saying like, you should be playing this, you should be doing this, you should just be buying in, building up a stack because it's a re-entry tournament, like try to fire a couple of times. Like did you see in the short deck, I don't even know how many times he was in because that game's insane.
The game's stupid.
It's insane.
It's awesome.
It's basically
PLO with two cards.
No, it's basically flips. You just jam it in, flip it over, and see who wins.
The equities run so close.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't even matter.
Jack 10 is better. Jack 10 suited is better than Ace King.
It's like it's wild.
Right.
But super fun. Anyways, back to re-entry tournaments. So I think, you know, there's a lot of good and a lot of bad from it. I totally agree with the fact that the average player who does not have an unlimited bankroll or stakes, you know, people paying him to play, no advertising dollars, things of that nature, which I'm one of them. And yeah. I'm probably more willing to spend a little bit more than other guys, but it's still a finite amount. Whereas Dan and Agranyu, it's almost an infinite amount. So that is bad.
Yeah.
It's good for the casinos, which I will say in all my years being, you know, in and around poker and in this industry in general, casinos typically, they don't care about poker.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to a poker room manager once about, you know, however it came up, and he was like, think about it this way. He's like, you know, poker table at the casino rips, what, like 150 an hour?
Let's just say. 140, yeah, whatever, 150.
150 for easy math. He goes, you got to pay the dealer. You got to pay all the security. You got to pay the floor guy. You got to pay brushes. You got to pay waitresses. All of those things.
Tables, cages.
All of that stuff to go through there. Whereas, let's just say $150 rake at a casino. That's the most optimal. Their dealers are the best. They're flying through. They got automatic shufflers. That's like the nut high.
Right.
You're really not getting more than $150 an hour.
No.
Certainly not getting $150 an hour at charity.
Never.
Take that into account, a slot machine that pays out a percentage, and you've got zero people to do anything on. It's just literally the one-armed bandit never calls in sick. It works the whole time. It doesn't need breaks. It doesn't complain.
It costs electricity, and it costs a few guys to go pay out hand pays.
That's it.
And it costs a gaming spot.
And then I remember one time at the Hollywood in Aurora, we were playing 5-10 limit. This is how long ago it was. There was no limit was offered in Illinois. It was just limit poker, right? and we're playing 5-10 limit. I think King was there. And they closed the table down because some guy wanted to play $2,500 a hand blackjack, and they have limited gaming spots, and they couldn't play it, and they had to close something down. So they closed down a freaking 5-10 game. Put all of us back on the list.
Because they don't care.
Because they don't care.
Right.
It's not that they don't care. It's just that it's more in the scheme of things, it's not as profitable as slot machines or table games. Those games are significantly better, and poker players kind of get the shaft. So, yes, it's bad. Free entries are bad for the everyday Joe player. But these bigger tournaments happen. These bigger prize pools happen. The casinos are much happier because they're getting a bigger, fatter rake because they're raking every single time the players come in.
And they can market these huge prize pools, million guarantee, and they can get a guy
which
who's
they
come
can't
in,
do.
Right. If there's not re-entries.
And again, when you think about it the other way, if you were going to play in a tournament like, you know, whatever we keep saying, 1500, wouldn't it be nice to be able to bring 4500 and be able to know for sure that I'm going to be able to play for a 2-day tournament,
yeah,
and play for a little bit more than just what if you go there, get aces to first hand, go all in and lose?
Right. Then what?
I flew to Vegas. I got a hotel room for 5 days. I'm supposed to hang out.
Yeah.
Like, granted, you can play other games. You play cash games. You play another tournament. Sure. But, like, I came for this tournament.
Mm-hmm. I guess I see that side of it.
So it's, well, I mean, there's always two sides to the coin, or, you know, grass is always greener kind of thing. But I think when people just be like, re-entries are so bad, like, yes, there are negatives, but then you got to be like, all right, well, let's look at the positives too, right, and do they balance one another out? And I think that they definitely – the disadvantage that Joe Pro is going to have – Joe Pro. The disadvantage that the average guy is going to have playing against pros that are way more heavily backed and have a much bigger advantage over them. But the problem is if everybody was on equal playing ground, the main event would be a lot smaller, yeah, right?
Correct.
Like, the price pool would be smaller. That dream of my $1,500 turning into $1 million is never going to happen unless it's a re-entry tournament.
Yep.
And I probably wouldn't have played that $1,500 tournament because it had a $500,000 guarantee, which they crushed. But if it didn't have that guarantee of the $500,000, I wouldn't have done it. And they wouldn't have put that $500,000 guarantee on there unless the casino knows, and we're just going to fire it. All these guys are just going to keep trying to fire because the overlay almost makes it
not have or happen.
Yeah, now it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. No. If the president comes out and says, everybody go buy gas today because gas prices are going to go up tomorrow, everybody's going to go out and buy gas, and then tomorrow the gas price is going to go up. You know why? Because we're out of gas because everybody in the same day went out and got the same gas, and now demand's up and supply's down.
Right.
Basic economics, which you have a degree in.
I do.
I have a degree in.
All right.
Two economics degrees talking about gambling.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome, actually.
Should be profitable, one would think.
I could draw some fun graphs, but that's about it. I think I've officially forgotten everything that I ever
learned.
I mean,
you can, like, move the demand curve and, like, the supply curve and stuff, right?
Price
goes up.
Gun to my head, I think I might freak, but yeah, I would rather.
Do you remember which?
I would rather play Daniel Negreanu where he's got 10 bullets versus my one than try to draw some wicked graphs.
Do you remember
graphs?
If supplies on the X or the Y axis? You couldn't even remember that?
I don't know.
No,
it's been a long time.
That's on top.
If I had to do it. Yeah, if I had to do it, I could do it.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're banging out at about 30 minutes here, so let's do – we're going to go with re-entry tournaments are, I think enough good that outweighs the bad where it's not –
but
no negative
EV. So much good is from the
– self-fulfilling side?
No, I think so much good is on the casino side that the poker players really don't care about. Like, that's some of the good we discuss. I mean, obviously, we have a poker room, so, like, we're going to look at it one way.
Right.
But Dan Negreanu doesn't really care at all about Binions. And
he's really the one who's going to get the advantage. He's the ultimate pro. He's the Hall of Famer. He's got money. He's not,
but
he's
understands that it's bad for the game, which his advantage...
In the long run.
Right. And his advantage over this tournament of being able to buy in five times isn't as big as his advantage as if there's fish in the tournament, if there's fish in the poker world for 20 more years. He's long term and like.
Well, that's the other problem.
He's a macro. He's not micro.
You get a fish that has come into a little bit of money and they fire all of their money into one tournament. It's like, yeah, that's great for that one tournament. Yeah. But if you'd have spread his $1,500 bullets into five different tournaments, does the poker economy benefit from that?
Well, maybe he's in five different locations and he's, I don't know. Pros and cons, but. In general, I think that the weaker players are going to have a disadvantage in these big tournaments.
But the dream of making
more money
is definitely...
Is still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I like it. So...
Like, I had a really super quick example in the 1650 HPT I played. It was the last hand before dinner break, last chance to buy in. I had built up my 30K stack to, like, 70K, and, you know, this is a big tournament for me. It's 1650. I don't really play tournaments, and that's a lot, and it was 250K to first. And last hand, like, this pro-y guy who I've seen around in all the circuits and know, he was a little bit on tilt, and, like, I raised with ace-jack under the gun, and he just piled, like, 20,000 in on the last hand, like, way above the blinds. Just because, you know, he's just going to rebuy for 40K or a new stack or double up. And it comes back around to me with ace jack, and I go into the tank, and I was like, gosh, I mean, this kind of sucks. It's not really that good of a hand, you know. He just re-raised all in. But I kind of knew what he was, like, his mentality of things, because I picked up on that. I called, and he had 7-6 offsuit, and I flopped a jack and just won, and I knocked him out. And he's like, all right, rebuy.
I'll see you tomorrow.
But, like,
yeah.
He's like, but, you know, he still put me to, like, the weird test and in a spot where this was only my only bullet, and, you know, it. And it's just like that's the example I can think of where he almost got me to fold away a better hand just because
you didn't want to risk your tournament life,
right? And he didn't care.
A guy, right? It's hard to play Russian roulette with somebody when they don't care
about life,
and you do.
Yeah.
I know that's a very extreme thing to say, but that's the truth.
Right.
These guys are like, I don't care. I'm willing to rip this thing five more times, even though I know one of the six has got a bullet in here.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm good, and you're like, ooh, no.
I don't even want to do it.
I don't even want to do it once.
Right.
Even if you gave me a 1 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd be like, ah.
Like a 50-50, one gun's got a bullet out of 6, and one gun's got nothing. I'm still like, I'm out. No, take it. Take my money. I'll wait until I get a better spot.
Yep.
Yeah. I guess if you take these things into account, you can play better poker. But again, you might have a bad beat story to tell us tomorrow.
I hope not.
I hope not either.
Yes, not
that
poker.
That does it up
gambling.
Gambling.
No, Chop It Up podcast.
Just chop it up.
Yeah.
Chop it up, folks.
That's it.
Wait, is that it? Like, that's the end? Or?
I'm done.
Are you done?
I'm not going to talk anymore.
You going to watch the squirrels again? All right, $50 says that squirrel gets the other one before we hit.
I'm in.
It's our first on-air bet.
They're gone.
They're not there. We'll wait until next week to see what happens. Thanks, everybody. Bye.